8:30 a.m. KSDP Radio. I'm Kels Hetherington, and this is Meet the People. Today, I'm going to be talking with Johanna Urich. She is a well-known voice on public radio stations all across this state. Her stories have aired clear across the Great Land, and her voice is well-known to thousands of public radio listeners in Alaska. Most recently, Johanna has been working with StoryCorps in Alaska, and she has just produced a series of pieces for NPR with StoryCorps. StoryCorps is an arm of NPR. Well, good morning, Johanna, and thanks for calling in.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. Well, I just introduced you, and I've told people that you are one of the greats in public radio reporting and producing, and I think you were in Dillingham for a long, long while, but you've been involved with APRN and Alaska Public Radio, and your voice is certainly well-known to public radio listeners across the Great Land, and now, because of StoryCorps, all across the United States.
Well, actually, the StoryCorps work that I do is just within the state of Alaska. They have a national team of producers who review the same tape and produce different versions that are heard nationally. But it's the same material. I mean, really, it's a very interesting national program. There was not just me, but a whole troop of people out there gathering tape. And without them, and without the interest of Alaskans in actually telling their stories, the program wouldn't even exist.
Well, what is StoryCorps for those of our listeners who probably have heard the reports that you worked on and the short vignettes that you worked on? And we are airing on this station randomly in our program schedule and fairly often, too, Johanna. What is StoryCorps and what does it do?
Well, StoryCorps was started not primarily as a radio program, but as an interesting approach to oral history and folklore. In fact, the material is archived at the Smithsonian, at the Library of Congress, in the Folklife Center. And basically, the idea was to gather the stories of Americans as told by Americans to other Americans. In other words, these are not interviews conducted by trained people. These are conversations between people who by and large know each other. And in fact, the most compelling stories come out from people who are talking to their husbands, their fathers, their mothers, people they know really, really well or thought they knew really, really well.
And, thought they knew, yeah.
That the stories that come out are profound. And they have that quality of intimacy that just doesn't exist between an interviewer and the person they're interviewing.
Well, I actually have one of the StoryCorps versions that with your voice in it. Let's play it right now. I'm not sure, Johanna, that you will be able to hear it. This is the one, though, about Barra. Does that ring a bell for you? Is there more than one about Barra?
About what? I'm sorry, it broke up. I didn't hear that word.
Is there more than one of these vignettes about Barra? Because that is the one that we're going to play for our listeners right now.
Okay.
It has your voice in there, so it's pretty darn good. It takes about 3 minutes and 42 seconds to play, so I think you may not be able to hear this, but just bear with us.
Okay.
Trinidad Ruiz lives in Barrow, the most northern city in the United States, but her roots run south across the border to Mexico. She went south to find out about her family from an aunt. There she discovered some family secrets.
She's pretty old now. I think she's one of the last ones left from my father's side of the family. She gave me lots of pictures. She gave me pictures of my grandfather and grandmother and my great-grandfather and great-grandmother, and she told me a lot of history about the family. My grandfather, I found out, and this is gossip from the family, that He was a womanizer. He had an affair and had three children with my grandmother's sister. And my grandmother's sister suffered from severe depression and couldn't take care of her children. So then my grandmother was taking care of her sister's children who were fathered by her husband. And when I heard that, you know, I'd started crying because I said, you know, what a kind person. Because I'm pretty sure she was probably pretty pissed at her sister as well as her husband, you know. That's just something you don't do, especially with your own sister, you know. Come on. So she basically took care of her sister's kids and would also take care of her sister too, because her sister was pretty depressed. I had never heard that. And when my auntie told me the story, she says, please don't tell anybody. Please don't tell anybody. This is a family secret that you must not spread. And I said, no, I'm sorry, auntie. I said, I can't. I can't keep this a secret in the family because everybody needs to know. She says, yeah. She says, I guess you're right. She says, go ahead. Just tell everybody. So me being the big mouth that I am, I had a good time gossiping. So that was another secret from the family, on my father's side, who was so strict, you know, the very traditional strict person. So maybe in a way my father knew that, and that's why, you know, his standards were so high. Maybe he didn't want to be like his father.
Trinidad Ruiz told her story in Barrow as part of the StoryCorps Alaska Project, a six-month effort to gather the diverse voices of Alaskans. The stories will be archived in the American...
Okay, so Johanna, there is the report. Were you able to hear that on the air as we played it?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, no, well, actually, we're the ones who need to apologize for that. There's some problem with the phone system that does not allow our telephone interviewee to hear what's going out over the air if it's coming off the computer. But this is the story about Barrow, and you got the woman talking about how her, I guess, mother's sister or grandmother's sister had children with her grandmother's husband. You know, and this is something that most people probably would have a difficult time talking about on the air. I guess a couple of questions I'd like to ask you here is, first of all, why was this important to tell everyone about on the radio? And what cultural significance does it have? Well, and how do you get people to talk so openly to you? That's a skill.
Actually, that interview was done by somebody else. And it wasn't really an interview. It was a conversation between two people who already knew each other. And the person who volunteered, everybody who does StoryCorps, they volunteer to do it. And they decide what things they want to talk about. So she's already decided when she walks in that she wants to talk about her family and her unique history. And that interview that you chose is actually one of two that I chose from her tape because she had some very, very strong material. I usually only use one story from a person, but I could not decide which two stories to put out. And I actually emailed her to make sure that she was okay with getting these stories out, and if she had a preference, and she didn't, and she was okay. And the story that you heard was about incest. There was another story that was aired, I believe, on Alaska News Nightly that talked about the fact that another relative of hers, when she would go back and visit her grandmother on the other side of the family, her grandmother on the other side of the family was a curandera, which is a Spanish word for a witch doctor. She was also known typically as a healer. And she talked about how she grew up with all these unique herbs and hearing these terribly intimate stories from people that they would tell Granny, and she would go into the back and try to figure out how to, what kind of herbs to whip up. And her grandmother came back and caught her doing that one day and told her, you know, you almost got it right. We need a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And so she had this incredible family background. But yet when she talked to her aunt about, asked her aunt whether her granny was a curandera, it caused this family explosion because the family could deal with the idea that her grandmother was a healer, but they could not deal with the idea that the curandera word brings with it kind of mystical elements that is very difficult to reconcile with Christianity.
Hmm. You know, it's very interesting how you went about this. I asked, did you go like a news reporter? I worked as a news reporter, and I've contributed to Alaska Nightly News. I know you've contributed a lot more than most of us ever have. Your voice was on there all the time. Now, as a news reporter, you go there, you have a set of questions, and you press for answers. Now, this is different entirely. You go there, and you wait for the story to almost ooze up to the top. How do you do that?
Actually, with StoryCorps, I'm not even there. There's a whole crew of people who gather this material, and the StoryCorps sets up a booth, and they separately mic two voices. One mic goes to on the left side, and the other mic is recorded on the right side, so they're getting as much acoustic isolation as they can. And then the third person, who is not mic'd, sits there and takes notes. And when you go in and do this process, it's very, that person is not really involved. You're looking at the person you're talking to, which is the other person. And it's not an interview. It's not an interviewer. In fact, the only StoryCorps tape that I was involved in gathering was, apparently StoryCorps reached my husband, who you also hear on the air all mm-hmm, the time. Mm-hmm. His name is Steve Heimel. And wanted, apparently in their outreach, many people suggested that they wanted to hear from him in this kind of format. And so Steve was reached, and Steve asked me as his wife to be the person to talk to him. And we talked before we went about what Steve wanted to talk about, and then we had a conversation together, and I was not interviewing Stephen. We were talking as husband and wife.
How was it working for your husband on the project? Do you guys have different visions? Do you guys have different visions? Does Steve have a slightly different way of working than you do?
Oh, totally. In fact, we have a process that we call progressive bickering because no way do we agree when we're working professionally on anything. We are so different. And but we do respect each other, and we know through great experience that, in fact, the work we do together is better than what either of us does on our own, and which is a shame because literally most of the work we did together was done before we came to Alaska. But since then, people are understandably concerned about having a husband and a wife working together. The concern is that they're going to gang up with each other, you know, gang up on other people in the newsroom or whatnot. In fact, we so seldom agree professionally that it is much more likely that Steve is going to get a load from me or I'm going to get a load from him than we are together going to gang up on anyone else.
Yeah, and you guys have held very senior positions. I think you were in Dillingham for a long time, weren't you? Were you a news director?
Yes.
Yeah, you were a news director in Dillingham, and Steve has been in Anchorage, right?
Yes, yes.
We all know
I started
Steve.
Out as news director at KSKA. I then worked for APRN for a while, but I really like small communities, and so I've worked in Bethel and in Barrow and in Talkeetna and in Dillingham, just to name a few places.
Well, let me go back to the work you did with the audio that came out of Barrow. The two people were talking, and the woman's grandmother had raised children that her sister had had with actually the grandmother's husband.
Actually, what it was the woman's grandmother's sister had her grandmother's sister had an affair and actually gave birth to children to the grandmother's from the grandmother's husband. And the grandmother, you know, I don't know what the relationship with the husband between the grandmother was, but the grandmother took care of her sister when she got sick and took care of her sister's kids, who were half brothers with her, you know, half siblings with her own kids.
Now, why is this story somehow Alaskan? Does it tell something about us as a people of a different land, northern land?
The fact is, Alaska has all sorts of people living in it. Most of the people living in Alaska were not born here, and most of them didn't come out here and build cabins in the wilderness. We have a lot of cliches about who is an Alaskan. I live in a community in Anchorage which has a lot of Samoans and Filipinos.
Mm.
The woman who told this story lives in Barrow. Now, can you be further north in Alaska? That's the furthest north place we have in Alaska. And yet, she's first-generation American, obviously first-generation Alaskan, and many other people are first-generation Alaskan. But her family's roots, her father came up here to this country and lived here, and her mother came up to this country and lived here. They both met, actually, in this country. And raised this young woman who then ended up, through whatever reason, living in Barrow.
Hmm.
She wanted to make connections with her family in Mexico, so she actually made trips from Barrow to Mexico to learn about her family.
But what are the questions?
And that learning was that she had indigenous roots in Mexico. She lives in an indigenous community in Alaska. And she's an interesting person. She's an Alaskan.
Oh, very interesting.
And that is her story.
But
that makes it an Alaskan story.
Ah, okay.
And we have a diversity of stories out there that far exceed anything that any of us have ever reported on our airwaves.
Did you ever worry that telling a story like the one from Barrow might put Alaskans in a bad light, and that there might be better stories? Not criticizing you, but just saying, you know, this is certainly not a good story about their family. I mean, there are some problems in this particular Barrow family's way of life
and
a few generations ago.
And there's a story of incredible courage of this grandmother who overcomes what many people might have been called a deal breaker to actually care for children and her sister. I mean, talk about a strong woman. Whoa. I think that is the lesson that the storyteller pulls out of this story. And I think that is the lesson that any of us hearing it would get. Wouldn't you want to meet this woman who was able to do that? Don't you want to be able to have the strength to do that? In fact, there is another story. I don't know if you have this one in your little
We've got all of them.
Yeah. But there is one of my favorite stories is from a Tlingit woman. And she and her husband talk. And at one point, there's a long history of alcohol and all sorts of problems, which are not unique. Everybody in Alaska is accustomed to them and knows all about them. And she, at one point, turns around and asks her husband, "What's your favorite Tlingit story?" And he can't think of one. And she says, "Well, while you're thinking, I'll tell you this story." And she tells this amazing story about these two grandparents who are at a fish camp. And the husband goes down to set out a net, and they've got their grandson there. Everybody else is gone. And a brown bear comes up and kills the husband. She sees that. She goes into the tent, takes the baby, and climbs the tree and ties the baby up in the tree and comes back down and goes to the fire and picks up a stick and hones.
It seems we may have lost Johanna. We did not cut her off, but she's on a cell phone somewhere in a remote location, and it may be difficult for her. We will call her back. We're going to hit something quickly. We'll be right back with Johanna Yurick. You're listening to KSDP in Sandpoint, Alaska. We're also heard in King Cove and in Sandpoint. Before we take a quick break, let's just talk about the membership drive. That is still going on. And for $20, you too can join the station. And for $50, your whole family can. That means you get two votes for the upcoming or in the upcoming board of directors election. And you can also run yourself. I've been talking with Johanna Yurick, and hopefully she'll give us a call back, or we can give her a call right now. We will take a quick break and go to a PSA and be back with Johanna Yurick.
I want to change some things.
I want the moms where I live to have childcare they can trust.
I want to make sure my little brother and his friends have a safe place to play.
I want to help more kids graduate from high school.
Help more hardworking families learn how to budget and save.
I want more of my neighbors to have access to health care.
Want to make a difference?
Hello?
Hey, Johanna, you got cut off somehow. We didn't hang up on you. We were listening, and you just went away. So I know you're on a cell phone someplace, I think.
Uh-huh.
So, but you're saying this other story. Can you continue on?
Sure. At any rate, this blanket, I don't know, where did it fall off? Did she climb up in the tree to protect her baby yet?
I think you need to take it two or three sentences before that.
Okay. Well, basically what happened is that the husband goes, the grandfather goes and fishes, and everybody else is gone, and there's a grandkid in the tent, and the grandmother watches the brown bear comes up and kills the grandfather. The grandmother goes into the tent, takes the baby, climbs up into the tree, ties the baby up there, and comes back down and picks up a stick and goes to the fire with a rock and hones it into a sharp point. And while she's doing that, she's hearing the drum beat like her blood inside of her and singing this Tlingit song and then drumming. And the bear is coming to her, and she starts dancing with the stick towards the bear. And as the bear goes and hugs her and kills her, she pushes the stick up through the chin of the bear and into his brain and kills him. And this is her favorite Tlingit story. Hmm. And she tells her husband, the reason it's her favorite story is that she does not want to be remembered as this kindly old grandmother. She wants to be remembered as the bear. And because what the bear is not the grandmother who can kill the bear, not the bear, because the bear is drugs and alcohol. And she wants to be able to be the person who can kill that, can get rid of that. And then she goes on in this interview and says, look, I have proof that love and care and strength can get rid of drugs and alcohol. Look at our son. He was in the gutter, and look at him now.
Hmm. That's a great story.
I mean, it's a great story. Another story about an incredible a woman and a family. And there was just, I mean, I just gave you two stories about women. There were stories about men that were great, too, believe me.
No, actually, I didn't pick up.
But,
I didn't for a moment think that you were focusing on
women. This is more recognizably Alaskan because it's a Tlingit woman talking about a Tlingit story, talking about problems that we see in our villages all over and in communities all over. Other story from the woman in Barrow may not be recognizably Alaskan in terms of fitting into what we think of as Alaska, but it is just as much Alaskan and just as much about the strength that can come from family members.
Mm. Well, Johanna, this has been an excellent kind of review of some of your work, and I looked on the computer here in the production room, and I can't bring up the story or the little short vignette that you did and you were just discussing, but we will play it, and we are playing your your StoryCorps stuff, and we will continue to play it. We really like it. It's good stuff. And you're still producing stuff for StoryCorps, right? You're going to have 25 in the series?
Yeah, there'll be 25 of them total. And I heard that you ran the statehood stuff as well, the 50 forget-me-nots.
Oh, absolutely. And you were involved in those too, right?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah.
The announcer, the voice I use for it, is a different voice. Her name is Shannon Moore. And the reason I used her voice is that there is a policy at APRN that recognizable news voices cannot be reading underwriting announcements. And I wanted to have just two voices, or maybe three at most. I didn't want another voice coming in to, this was brought to you, blah, 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 blah. I wanted it all the same voice because they're short, and I thought it made more sense aesthetically to have it just be the same voice.
Hmm. Well, you know, we've been playing we're hoping, actually, as we discussed with you the other day, we're hoping you have permission to put those on our website along with the NPR StoryCorps stories. So once we hear back,
I still haven't gotten answers from people on that. I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. Well,
but I hope you can too.
And I'm sorry to bring it up to you on the air, but just my thought was if I brought it up to you on the air, then maybe you would say, "Yeah, just do it. Go right ahead." Because I think people really enjoy being able to, you know, at least stream them, if not download them. You know, I don't know what the intellectual property rules are like, but this is a great service, and it's been a very good thing. And actually, a lot of people, a lot of press has covered this, from Dutch Harbor to the Anchorage papers, and it's been a very good thing. And StoryCorps has a website too, and you can go there. Do you know the website?
Not off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. You can go. I didn't know if you had a better one to give out.
That's StoryCorps, which is all one word: StoryCorps. And Google it, you'll get right there.
That was my thing, too. And we also have a link to it on our website, which is www.apradio.org. That is for Aleutian Peninsula Radio. So it's the other AP. You have to visit our website.
Yeah. I think StoryCorps, by the way, all the long interviews, all the interviews that are done end up in the Library of Congress, as archived in the Folklife Center there. And that's a very unique effort. It was a national effort to just collect American stories and make them available to people through the National Archives. And not have that effort, the definition of what is an American story, defined by professionals, either academic, oral historians, or reporters, to allow, to enable Americans to define their own stories. And that's why I find, that it was interesting that you should pick the story that you did from Barrow, because this was a classic example of what I consider an Alaskan story that we don't think of as Alaskan. And the fact is, we are a global community. We are global in our own neighborhoods. We have, in remote areas like Barrow, there are people living there from other countries.
Yeah.
And that's true in Bethel. That's true in Dillingham. When I was there, I put together a community art show, which I called the Private Art Show, and I invited everybody to display something that they had in their home that they considered art, and they had to give me the provenance, which is what it's made of, where it's from, blah, blah, and also write a simple explanation of why they wanted to show this piece of work. And one of the most interesting things that came in the door was from a woman in Ecuador who's married to a Yupik man in Dillingham, lives there. And she had an incredible collection of artifacts that were Mayan and
were Indian, and they had surfaced in the land that her grandfather farmed. Mm. And they were buried. The land, it turned out, was the mass burial site of a genocide that was conducted by the Spanish conquistadores. Hmm. And so these things were, there were very few of those indigenous people that survived that. In fact, other Indian tribes moved in and settled that. And she was a descendant, partly, part of her blood is Spanish, and part of it was a mix of indigenous people, which is very typical in Ecuador and South America. And these things were like a link to her past, and on both sides of that war, and was on the land that her father and grandfather farmed, and that would come up when they were plowing the ground.
Hmm. Well, Johanna,
and here she has. She has them in Dillingham, and that's her history.
That is amazing. You wouldn't expect that. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Not to cut you off, but we've gone over the amount of time that we thought we were going to have with you.
Okay, well, I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. You know, we want to apologize because we didn't mean to take up more time than, you know, it's hard for a guest to kind of depart on an interview. But we usually do this for about 20 or 30 minutes. So we kind of reached the end of our allotted time for this, and we'll be going back to Science Friday. But we really appreciate this, and this was wonderful for people to hear your voice, a voice they really know very well from APRN. And you've been behind some very wonderful radio productions. We hope to see more stuff from you. So let's maybe get you back on the radio in the near future to talk more about all of the stuff you're working on.
Okay. Thank you, and bye.
And give our best to Steve Heimel, too. All right, that was Johanna Urich from, I think she's in Anchorage. She was for a long time in Dillingham, where she was a news director and reporter. And she's been working with StoryCorps in recent months to put together stories about Alaska and the Alaskan experience. And she spent some time, as you heard, talking about what went in. It's a different kind of work than a reporter would do. They don't go out with a list of questions to get answers. They listen to people, and it's a conversation that you'll hear. We here at 8:30 a.m. KSDP are running these episodes. It's a series. She's done 25, or she will do 25 pretty soon. And they're popping up kind of at random times at KSDP. Well, okay, that is Meet the People for today. It is the 1st of May, 2009. I'm Kels Hetherington. Thanks for listening. We'll now go back to NPR News, which is already in progress with Science Friday from New York.
Wildlife Forensic Lab. Joining us now is Sal Amato, a special agent in charge of the